What about dinosaurs? Today on Where We Begin. Welcome back to Where We Begin, and oh boy, do we have a good one today.
Uh-oh.
I'm real excited. Also, I'm Derek. This is Alicia, Lou, and Xandra. Also, this is a podcast that answers some of the toughest objections to Christianity today. Sorry, I'm doing such a poor job today at this.
No, you're doing great,
it's just Derek. All mixed together like a toss
salad. Yeah, I'm excited. I'm being, So I want to start today's episode, after that very rough start, with a true or false, and I just want you to, you know, don't elaborate. I know this is very hard for you all. Does life find a way?
It's like a Jurassic Park here.
True.
Oh, can we answer?
Life do. That
is, yeah.
Life do make a way.
Life do make a way. Good.
It do.
I don't know. I'm kind of like in a true false kind of dichotomy. Right. I think sometimes it does.
No, I'm just kidding. You can answer.
that's what I got.
Yeah, essentially, yeah. That was a dumb question.
I don't even understand.
It is the Jurassic Park question.
Oh, got it.
Because coming up, this show, many people don't know, this week is actually sponsored by Jurassic World Dominion, opening on June 10th. is that illegal? Can I actually say
that's
that?
Great. Not probably.
We should talk
Jeff
to legal.
Jeff Goldblum is in it, and that makes me want to watch
Jeff Goldblum, Laura Dern.
I know, but it went from one, and I'm
Sam O'Neill.
Okay,
I think is back in it.
It's worth watching.
So it's exciting. It's exciting. But what you can so. Okay, so that is fun. I'm looking forward to that.
You want to go together?
Oh, that'd be so cute.
Double date?
Double Dutch.
Okay. I'm going to need to Google that later. I don't know what I'm agreeing to right now. So essentially, there's a hint in the question that today we're talking about dinosaurs.
Yes!
Are you excited?
Oh, I love dinosaurs.
I know you do. Who doesn't? They're cute.
I'm just going to put my mic away. I'm done talking.
You don't like dinosaurs?
No.
Why? What's wrong with you? Dinosaurs are great.
I feel a real affinity to them because big bodies, little arms. I feel like kind of a dinosaur myself. So, they all have the...
he's got those little claws.
Yeah, little claws. They are adorable. I actually have a planter my wife bought for me at one time on my desk. It's a dinosaur. I don't remember what kind, but you've seen it.
I have.
It's the kind that
it's the Parasaurolophus.
There we go.
Yeah, I saw it on your desk. I said, why is there Parasaurolophus on your
desk? Parasaurolophus, which means weird head. I don't know if it means that, but they do have weird heads. That's why I said that, just to clarify.
No, you're thinking of cephalid. I'll be quiet.
Okay. I might be wrong. So what we are talking about, essentially the question is this, but what about dinosaurs? Because this is the question that comes up when people are asking about the Bible and essentially trying to say the Bible's obsolete because if you look at Genesis, if you look at the creation accounts, not just there, but in Job and in the book of Psalms, there are other creation accounts given. One thing we don't see is dinosaurs, and yet in our history we unearthed all these dinosaurs. Mm-hmm. And suddenly this whole class of animals that died out long before we were here, maybe depending on your view on how old the earth is, but are suddenly there. And it's clear that it's clear that the biblical authors have no concept of mm-hmm. dinosaurs, and they should have mentioned them. So let's start with that. I mean, what is, for someone who asked this, or maybe someone who is answering it, what's at stake here in this question? Because it's really, it's not just about dinosaurs.
Right.
Xander, if you want to start off.
Yeah, I guess one of the things that might be at stake is people might say, well, are you willing to sacrifice the scripture for the sake of staying along with mainstream science? And if you really believed in the scripture, like you would be able to question science, because after all, science is always changing. We're sitting on top of this huge mountain of discarded theories that at one time or another throughout human history, everybody believed, you know, like the earth is flat, or like the earth is at the center of our solar system rather than our sun, or other theories, you know? So I think that might be one thing that's at stake, is just how seriously are we taking the scriptures for whoever might be asking that question. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, and because I think, you know, it comes down to like, you know, the coexistence, dinosaurs coexist with humans and, you know, these kind of things. And so I think, you know, oftentimes people, when they're reading the scriptures, are trying to say, well, if we read it this way, then where do we place the dinosaurs and all of this? And so I think there's all these dynamics as people are trying to sort all that out, when it seems like, you know, that if they're not necessarily mentioned in scripture, and you think they would be.
Yeah, and so I do want to get to the specific answer of dinosaurs, I know, because that's a fun topic. But it is probably helpful first to, you know, maybe just elaborate. What do we think something like the account in Genesis, and there may be different answers from each of you on this, what is it attempting to accomplish? Like, is this an issue of, essentially, we just don't understand what type of literature Genesis is? We don't understand what its purpose is. Should it have had dinosaurs in it or not? Like, I feel like that's part of the question too. Like, how would we respond to that? What is Genesis actually doing? And is that a fair accusation that there aren't dinosaurs in it? Therefore, the Bible cannot be true.
I think a lot of this comes back to how you're approaching the scriptures. And Genesis tells us a story about the creator who created everything. In the beginning, God, he was in the beginning, which is a huge claim. And I think we get really tied up in, you know, trying to figure out the different days and like, okay, well, how did this happen scientifically, or how did this come from that, or, you know, other things, or, you know, people will approach other parts of Genesis, like Noah's flood, for example, in the same way. And they'll really come at it with saying, okay, what does this tell us about the science versus what is this just trying to tell us generally, first mm-hmm. of all? And so I think a lot of what we see in Genesis talks about humans' role as stewards of the earth, you know, and like the Noah story, I think also is very clear about how we are meant to be stewards of God's creation and care for it. And that's a beautiful picture. And if we get all tied up on like, were there dinosaurs on the ark or what happened there, I think we can maybe get derailed a little bit from what that is supposed mm-hmm. to be teaching us as children of God. So I'm a scientist. Obviously, I love, well, I'm not a scientist. I'm trained in the sciences. And I absolutely love the sciences. And I think there are a lot of scriptures that have pointed me back to science. And I say, wow, the congruence here is incredible. But I don't go to scriptures with the same mindset that I would go to like my biochemistry textbook or something like that. I don't think that that's the appropriate way to view scripture personally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And thanks. No, that's really good. And it's interesting that, again, there are lots of things that are not mentioned in the Bible. You know, it's not really this, it's not an Encyclopedia Britannica, which you can Google and find out what that used to be.
Right.
But it is, but for some reason, dinosaurs have been the sort of one thing that has stuck as, but since those aren't in there, this is a major problem. But essentially, it's not even that they're not in there. So I know there are different views on this, but the issue is perhaps with, and I wasn't even planning on going this direction, but now I do feel sort of led to go this direction. And, but this really is the major question. It's sort of only addressing a young earth view, right? I mean, that's essentially the problem. If you're a Christian that has an older view of the earth, there's really no issue. There might be the issue of why would God do it like that? Nature seems, you know, cruel, red in tooth and claw. But essentially the issue is really just in a young earth perspective, which just means that the earth was created in six literal days, roughly 6,000 to 8,000 years ago.
24-hour days.
That there's just so much incongruence with what, you know, through carbon dating and everything, of the picture that emerges from the scientific data, that view can't be reconciled. So what, I mean, is that, I don't know if anyone here is a young Earth creationist, and I don't, you know, there are brothers and sisters, we love them. I don't think anyone is, but would they have an answer to that? I mean, or is it just they're not as old as we think they are? Or maybe if you don't want to go there, what would be your answer to that? Is there an issue with it?
I think just a lot of people I've spoken with who are on that young Earth viewpoint, they do have answers for it. And if you go to the Creation Museum, you'll see, displays of Eve, and there's a velociraptor walking around behind her, like eating plants, because they believe, dinosaurs were there and they had the pointy teeth and the scary claws and everything, but they were just eating plants. Yeah. And they have answers for things like, you know, Noah's Ark, that he could have rolled dinosaur eggs up onto the Ark rather than having them walk two by two, because we know that you couldn't have physically fit those creatures on the Ark.
Right.
There are answers for it.
And I would also add, like, I know, because I, this is a challenging question. So I think I sway, it's challenging for me because I sway more towards young Earth theologically, and I don't know enough about the sciences to say that I wouldn't accept the other ones. I think the young Earth position is probably the most theologically sound. I recognize that people would say there's massive scientific issues with it, and I'm okay with that because I haven't landed on a view. So I guess I'm in no man's land kind of on this issue still, and I'm like, let's continue to explore and find out. But I do understand from the young Earth perspective, they would say that they have fossils where there's like the bones of dinosaurs and people together, or like footprints and this kind of stuff. And so it shows that dinosaurs and humans did coexist. Now, part of the thing we have to remember is a lot of us have shaped our views of dinosaurs from movies, films, Jurassic Park, and these kind of things. And you get little things like, you know, velociraptors, how they hunt, you know, and like one captures your attention, but then the other two come from the side. You know, can you tell that from bones and skeletons? I don't know. Xander would be able to better answer that. But my point is, a lot of what we shape of what dinosaurs were like, oftentimes comes from what we've seen and portrayed. And that's also playing a picture, it's impacting how we view these things. And so I think from the young Earth perspective, they would hold that the animals did coexist with humans. Obviously they're gone for some reason, you know, was it a meteor or flood, or I don't even know, you know, there's all these different, possibilities as to where they are now, but they would have that as part of their,
So, and with the, sorry to just really quickly. So with the bones that they thought were fossilized human, which they called Homo diluvii testes, which was a form of like ancient human being, they thought, that was actually a giant salamander that was later found out, an extinct species of salamander.
Yeah.
And then for the footprints one, actually that's also been contested, because if you follow the footprints long enough, they get three pointed toes, and it's another form of a really small dinosaur.
So you're saying the young earthers don't have the dinosaurs and human stuff anymore?
Nope.
That's interesting.
That's been disproven. Actually, that was disproven a long time ago. But it was republished in a book in 1971 by Morris, who sort of brought a lot of that stuff up in his book about the Genesis flood. So even though that had been disproven in the early 19th century, it reappeared in literature later on.
I was going to say, because it would have been the 90s, later is when I would have learned.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, just to throw
that's
out
a good
there.
Point. I think that's a good point, because we talked about the museum, right? The Creation Museum, and maybe what they have there. So I'd be interested to know what they have there.
Okay. Well, that was interesting, I think, because like we said, if you're kind of hold to an older view, it's really not much of an issue.
Exactly.
Other than the only issue is, why aren't they in the Bible? But they have no issue. But it's kind of interesting to hear different ways that those groups, just to be fair to all the groups that you know, we talk about, to what they might actually think. Lou, feel free to chime in.
This is class for me. I'm learning. It would be very ignorant of me to speak when I knew nothing of this topic. Well, and maybe I should be doing more research on this topic, yeah. but it's never once interested me, and I've never actually wrestled with yeah. the truth of this because I actually take the point of view that, like, this one just doesn't. I know it matters for some people, and I'm not saying it shouldn't matter. I'm just like, it's never been a problem,
yeah.
and it's not even a question that I ever get from people, so I just don't
but
really.
When you were in your science program, though, did other students ever? I mean, seriously, did other students ever? Push,
well, I still thought you were my science program.
Your science,
thank you.
Yeah,
my degree.
It was a certificate.
My degree in molecular biology. And yes, we did not go into dinosaurs very much, if I'm being honest.
But you weren't questioned on that? Just wanted, as like the Christian and the, you know, when people found out you were a Christian, you weren't
to a Christian college.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember learning about this in high school, at a public high school, but it was, yeah, I don't know. Okay. It's just, sorry, that's why I'm not trying to be, yeah. I was just like, I feel like anything I'd have to say would just be me just pontificating.
Essentially what just happened. And
exactly. This
yeah.
is what I'm
yeah,
just
no,
wasting,
not good,
wasting
yeah.
a minute and a half on this podcast. You know, okay. I will speak when I feel like I have something to say. You know this.
We do
yes,
know this.
Yes. Yeah. So, okay. So let's just get to the very specific question.
Okay.
Why doesn't the Bible mention dinosaurs, or does the Bible mention dinosaurs? Like, if it doesn't, why not? But does it? Are there things that we've missed where some of these creatures are actually potentially, obviously it's not 100% clear, or that would be a slam dunk for us, but yeah, essentially, where is it somewhere in the text?
Some people point to Job, and Alicia, are you looking that
yep,
up?
It's fine, yeah.
Okay, are you there?
Go ahead
and read it, yeah.
Well, no, I mean, go ahead. I mean, there's kind of two sections, right? I love Job, first of all. If you know anything about me, I love Job and James. But
all the J's.
The
Jesus,
J's.
Job,
Jesus,
James.
Job, James.
Beats, Bears, Battlestar Galactica. Yeah.
So, you know, I think some of the question comes in like chapter 40 and chapter 41, where in chapter 40, you have this animal who is described, the behemoth, right? And it's pretty wild. It's got sinews. It says its tail sways like cedar. The sinews of its thighs are close-knit. Its bones are tubes of bronze. Its limbs like rods of iron. So it sounds like pretty crazy and massive and pretty strong. But then it says it feeds on grass like an ox, which is interesting. So you get this animal that seems to be really big and massive, but yet it feeds on huh?
I'll chime in. This is Littlefoot. That's describing whatever the dinosaur. Oh. What is that one? It's a big old—
Man before time.
Man before yeah. time,
no,
yeah.
but what is that type of dinosaur? You know, oh, long neck.
The brontosaurus, brachiosaurus, yeah. some of that.
The yeah. real long, the tall, looks like a, that's it, yeah.
I think
big old tree trunk
has
and
been retired
it eats leaves, oh. tree stars.
Okay, all right, thanks Lou for that contribution.
yeah,
thank you Lou.
Lou's quoting Land Before Time.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, I got him to start speaking earlier, you guys.
You had to call him there.
He's having a meltdown, I think.
He went to for this podcast.
Getting back to the scripture, Lou. No, but what else is interesting about this whole thing is in, I guess verse 20 of chapter 40 says, the hills bring him their produce and all the wild animals play nearby. So it's really interesting because this seems to be an animal that the other animals really aren't scared of because they play nearby, but yet this animal is like really big and massive. And so one of the things that they've thought of that this could potentially be in Job chapter 40 is a hippopotamus, just because of the fact that it's really big and, it would be weird for them to, if this was a dinosaur, you'd wonder, you know, was this, you would think it might be a threat to the humans, but yet this one doesn't really seem to be because it's eating vegetation. But like we talked about, there are dinosaurs eating vegetation. But then you look at chapter 41, you have this Leviathan, which is like this one that's in the water with the fish hook and the tongue. And it's like shooting fires, all these kind of things, which we actually don't necessarily, I don't know of any animal that shoots fire. Although there is a beetle that shoots out a really poisonous gas, which is kind of cool. But regardless, you have this whole like kind of watery kind of animal. And so, you know, the idea is this more like an alligator type thing? So in other words, are these animals that are familiar to the audience where they can come up to them versus they're not going to be necessarily getting that close with, you know, these big giant dinosaurs. So I don't know if I would say that those are dinosaurs in that regard, but, you know, I guess there's all kind of possibilities out there.
Yeah.
Sandra?
I guess I don't have a ton to add to that. I would say I find the KT boundary really compelling. I don't know if you guys have heard of the KT boundary. Mm-hmm. So it's a really fascinating segment in our geological history. And like geology, it's like the autobiography of the earth, right? You can go back and see what happened. And on every layer, there's like different ecology, totally different plants and animals. And then you go up and there's another completely different ecology, different things growing. And so there's one little area that they've called the KT boundary. And it's made with a composition of iridium, which doesn't naturally occur on our planet, but it's very prevalent in meteors and asteroids and things like that, flying around out there. It's a like a metal. And so you find a lot of that megafauna, like dinosaur kind of megafauna up to that point. And then after that, zero occurrences. So the thought is that there was a mass extinction potentially that was caused by a meteor. And that, I think, has been located somewhere in modern-day Mexico. There's like a huge crater that got that really rich deposit of iridium. So they're thinking maybe that could have been what happened that killed the dinosaurs. But again, I think a young Earth more viewpoint wouldn't necessarily entertain that possibility. But for me, I've always found that a bit compelling and a really interesting part of our geological history.
So why wouldn't the young Earth find like that a meteor could have wiped them out? Find because, that compelling?
Because all of the humans would have wiped out. I mean, and also the view with the flood, I think, is really important in that viewpoint, where the entire globe was covered in a flood and everything went extinct except what was on Noah's Ark on a planetary scale, which is why you find like tropical plants fossilized at the top of these really high mountains, which doesn't really make sense. But but all of that stuff was published, again, in the 60s before we had an understanding of plate tectonics. And so they were trying to use a global flood to explain the extinction of dinosaurs and everything else that happened before they understood actually how tectonic plates work. And I think if they had that piece, they were asking really good questions in the 60s, you know, and coming against a lot of misconceptions in geology, which needed to be asked. And it was great that these were Christian men, and I think mostly Christian men, who were doing this. So they missed the plate tectonic piece, no pun intended. And if they'd had that, I think they would have had a better rounded view and not have gone to the global flood thought. Anyway, but that's another piece of the puzzle.
Interesting. Please continue to explain the world to us.
I know.
Every chance you get.
No, I just have read so much about rocks because I think rocks are fascinating. I think dinosaurs are fascinating, and we didn't talk about very many. But I thought of the dinosaur you were thinking of. It's Pachycephalosaurus. That's the one you're thinking of with the head.
It's got like the part of the head that like shoots off the back.
Oh no, that is a Parasaurolophus.
Okay.
I was right.
Okay.
And never mind. We'll talk more later about nomenclature of dinosaurs.
Yeah, we'll figure this out. And then we'll just let everyone know in the show notes what we ended up finding. No, that's interesting. Now, one of the questions, we're running out of time here, but this is one, Lou, this is one I think you can handle. I'd love to hear your response on this, Lou. But I have talked to people before who have said this, that the devil hid dinosaur bones.
What?
To throw us off.
It's a red herring. Just to confuse us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fossilized herring, yes.
Yeah, I would emphatically say that's not true.
Okay.
Yeah. That's about the only thing I'm going to say. I think that's a ridiculous belief.
Okay.
Alrighty. I've never even heard that.
Thank you for honoring the question first before you said
it. Sorry, but, probably something we're just going to offend someone. I just think that's... That looks like we're trying to avoid anything science is trying to show us. And I just think that's a very dangerous thing. Yeah. That's all.
Plus it says that God is deceitful. If he would have given, like he knowing that would happen, allowed it to happen. Or I've read an author who said that God planted it to test our faith. Mm-hmm. He like put dinosaur bones in to test our faith and make sure we were really believing the Bible. And that says some bad things about God's character.
Yeah.
I agree.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, that is just like gymnastics. That's hermeneutical gymnastics, just to try and prove what
you want. God tempting us to disbelief. Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. Well, I think just to wrap it, because I know we've kind of talked about it a lot, would each of you now, very briefly, just say real quick, what about dinosaurs in the Bible? How would you help someone make sense of, like, if you had one or two sentences just to say, think of it like this, take that sort of weight off your shoulders? Because I think we've had fun with it, but it's an enduring question because it's a serious question. So yeah, what would be your...
I think my short answer would be dinosaurs existed, and I am waiting for the next 10 to 20 years of scientific research to continue to help us learn more about the placement and history and how that all works. And I just don't want to jump on anything too early.
Yeah.
Do not try to use Genesis as a science textbook is my strongest encouragement to anyone. I'm not saying it doesn't give us sometimes some scientific answers, but in general, I think Genesis 1 and 2, even up through 11, as you were saying earlier, Xander, it is explaining to us a God behind this whole thing. And I think the more we try to fit science in that, we will get into trouble, because I don't think that's what Genesis is trying to actually convey to us. I think there's a lot of poetry and narrative within Genesis, especially, I'm just saying, the creation story specifically.
And to what point, quickly, what is it trying to...
Oh, I think it's explaining there is a God that did this all. Like, there is a God behind this all, and this wasn't just some cosmic accident. Because even if you look at the way it's described, like, follow, and again, I'm not a Hebrew scholar, but follow the way it's written, it's very poetic, intentionally, because it's displaying a story. Because I think trying to describe how God created everything would be one really big thing to do. How beautiful and how big of a thing that would have to... I mean, you're trying to word this in a way for generations of people to know that God did this. That's what I think Genesis does beautifully. And the more you try to make it into a book on dinosaurs, I think you're going to get into trouble. And I think we have a history of Christians trying to do that with Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think we are small creatures in a magnificent creation, and all of creation testifies to its creator.
Yes.
It all points back to this amazing, masterful mind, just absolute genius, super intellect, and a God who wields these beautiful worlds far away in distant galaxies that we'll never see. But he's a creative God. And the Bible tells us that creation was made through him, by him, and for him. So this all belongs to him. So we might get confused and say, why would God create something that I can't enjoy or I can't see, like these distant galaxies or like things that even existed on our planet that we didn't have the chance to see or experience? And the fact is, we serve a God who loves to create. That's why we love to create, because we're made in his image. And so I think as I look at dinosaurs and I hear about the newest form that's been discovered, and you know, I look at pictures of the fossils, I just think, wow, what an incredible mind created this creature. And again, it goes back to that mysterium, right? The mystery of God. What was in his mind when he did this? And I like to picture, you know, these creatures, how did they play? What did they sound like? That Parasaurolophus on your desk had that long thing because it was a singer. Mm-hmm. It made songs. That's what that structure was for.
Yeah,
it's just
that.
Amazing to me to wonder. So I think it's not something we need to be afraid of.
Mm-hmm.
It's something we can accept, and it can all point us back to worshiping the Creator.
Yes.
Yes. Amen. Well,
amen.
A couple last things I'll add on to this. One, interestingly, the word dinosaur didn't even exist until about 1841, apparently.
Yeah.
So it means terrible lizard. But we probably know dinosaurs more as clever girls now. Again, that's a Jurassic Park throwback. But also, if people do want to learn a little bit more about maybe what was the point of Genesis, how is it interacting with surrounding cultures? Not to plug my own material, but I do have a series of articles on the website called Old Testament Copying? It's a question, and we'll get a link in the show notes for you on that. And that might help kind of get to some of what Lou was talking about with, you know, what was Genesis, how is it interacting in its time, and what was the point to what people were kind of talking about. What was the actual point, and is it a science textbook? But anyway, thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed it. We had fun. We love talking about dinosaurs. If you like this one, feel free to like it, comment, subscribe, share it with people. That really helps us out. And if you want your question answered on the podcast, just email us at where we begin at lightengroup.org, and we'll see you next week. Bye.
Thanks for joining us. Be sure to check out our Facebook and Instagram by searching Lighten Group. And if you want to know more about what we do or support us financially, please visit our website at lightengroup.org.